I want to read some passages of Scripture to you this morning. We're going to be sharing with you on the subject of the trial of our faith. The trial of our faith. I've run into a lot of Christians over the years that didn't know much about how that their faith or that their faith was even going to be tried. And some of them that were having their faith tried didn't know exactly what was going on in their lives. And I've had some of them come to me and say, "Brother Lewis, ever since I've become a Christian, I've never had so many problems in all my life." And while a lot of Christians, when they're first born again and are newborn babes in Christ, do not really get too much involved in spiritual warfare because they don't know that much about it. And they don't really need to know about it much at that particular time. They're going to have a little, but our job as fellow believers, and they're part of our church family, is to lift them before the throne of grace and to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is a growing process, and that never ends. I'll be 83 this month. I've been in the ministry since I was 19. I'm still growing. Amen. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. And praise God, God's still good. Amen. I've let him down sometimes, but he's never let me down. Amen. And one of the things that I discovered was right away that I was in a battle. And it's taken me a long time. I just want to say to you this, that wherever you are in your growth stage and in your development of your fellowship and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and wherever you are, that you're in a battle, and it's a battle of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. And that's what our message is about this morning, a trial of our faith. And when you find yourself going through circumstances and situations that you don't like, and it's not necessarily something that's going on outside of your body with finances or jobs or things like that, that's the enemy can use all of those things, amen, and generally does in some way or another to try to fill us with doubt and fear and worry, amen. But he also uses physical things, things that we go through in our bodies. I want to say right off that right now, especially does he use our minds, because our minds is the battleground, and that's where your faith is going to be tried. And that's why the Bible tells us in a lot of different places to let this mind be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, we're not fighting against the world out there, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting, our war is against principalities, against powers, against wicked spirits in high places. We find out in one of these scriptures I'm going to share with us that battleground in the mind is when we're having that type of battleground where, I could give you some examples. I don't think I need to give you many, but for example, if you get down and you get in the hospital and you have some kind of special, real kind of weird disease and you're suffering, right? And the enemy comes and tries to tell you, well, you're suffering because you did this or you did that. He tells us in our mind that it's your fault that you're here, and God can't heal somebody like you. And he tries to fill us with worry and doubts. Or if something's going wrong with our jobs or whatever is happening, the enemy cannot. Jesus said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." He saw him come out. So he can't accuse us like in the days of Job. He could accuse us before the throne of God. Look at Lewis Cowan, or look at Joe, or look at Mary, or look what they're doing, and you call them one of your children, and they're supposed to be saved, and blah, blah, blah. But he can't do that before the throne of God, because God doesn't see any of that, and he doesn't listen to any of that. God knows who we are. We need to know who we are. And that's why I spend a lot of time teaching on who we are in Christ, because the more we know about who we are in Christ, the better off we're going to stand against the wiles and the deceits of the enemy, and better we'll know how to fight, and the better we'll know how to put on the whole armor of God and all of these other things. But it's not, I want you to understand that it's as you will, it's not once the spiritual warfare starts. If you don't understand it's spiritual warfare, you certainly don't know what to do about it, right? But when we do understand about spiritual warfare, then we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because it's through the trials and the pressures of life that we put the and we apply the and apply the word to our circumstances and our situations, that's when we begin to see some results, and then that's when we begin to understand that, hey, there is an enemy out there, and he's attacking me, and his attacks are to try to discourage me from serving the Lord, or trying to get me to get so tied up in and be entangled in the affairs of the world, which Jesus told not to. He said, don't worry about your jobs or what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear and all those things. He said, just trust me. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of all those things. Amen? And so we don't understand until we grow some. And you can't grow without the Word of God. You have to get in the Word of God. The Bible says in Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2, verse 5, but desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You can't grow without the Word of God. And we have, I think it's in the physical world, we grow. You've heard me say a number of times, you grow just normally and naturally. As long as you breathe and do a little exercise, and you're going to grow when you eat a little bit. But in the spiritual realm, that's not true. You got to pray. That's breathing. Amen. You got to listen. You got to feed on the Word of God and the milk of the Word. You got to exercise the word, and as you do, then that's how you grow. But if you don't do that, there's not going to be very much growth. And so we find in a lot of churches, and I'm not complaining, I'm just stating some of the facts that we find in a lot of churches, Christian churches, that there's a lot of people that have been there for 20 and 30 years that don't know anything about spiritual warfare and wonder where the joy of the Lord is gone and why they don't have the fellowship that they're supposed to have, or either they wonder, well, why am I under this suffering and all this pain and all this other stuff that's going on in my life all the time. And the Bible tells us that we're supposed to resist the devil. Yeah. And he flees from us. Yeah. Did you know that? Yeah. If we don't recognize him, we don't know where he's attacking us or how he's attacking us. How are we going to resist him? Amen. Are you with me this morning? So let's go. I'm going to read in 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 12. And these scriptures should be up on the screen for you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Paul speaking to the Christians, of course, and listen to what he says. Beloved, first of all, I just want to say this. How many of you know that as a Christian, you are beloved? You are the beloved one of God. You are a child of God, and God loves you. You are beloved. Amen? So that's what I want you to know, first of all. You're beloved. It's not that God's left you, because God never leaves anybody he loves, right? Amen? So we're beloved. Now, do not think it's strange. In other words, I've had people come to me and say, "Boy, since I've become a Christian, I said this a while ago, I think, but I don't know what's going on. It's just I'm having a it's some strange things have happened to me. Things that I've never had happen to me before are happening to me." So the Bible says, "Don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial." So that means you're in a fiery trial, folks. That means a fiery trial means that's not just some simple little thing. That's a fiery trial. Amen. And which is to try you. It's to put you to the test. As though some strange thing happened to you. How many of you have ever had, as Christians, have you ever had some strange things happening to you? Wonder what in the world's going on? Amen. That's what we're talking about. Now, he says here, rejoice. James says, now listen, because we're talking about warfare, and we're talking about things that are hitting us, and we're talking about some suffering over that, because there is some suffering to it. But James says, my beloved, count it all joy. In James chapter 1, I think it's verse 7, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations and temptations. Amen? The joy of the Lord, why? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? In other words, I have to tell the devil sometimes when he's accusing me and he's trying to put me down over something I did and I made a mistake and I have sinned since I've been a Christian. I don't know whether you've sinned or not since you've been a Christian, but I have. And I've had the enemy come and accuse me of it too and tell me, boy, try to put me down. And that's not a pleasant thing. So you're going to find that some of these trials that we're going to go through are unpleasant. And that's why the Bible says here several times in these passages of Scripture, it says suffering. A lot of people think, well, Christians don't suffer. Well, we have a lot of Christians in foreign lands right now that are suffering. They're suffering. They don't have food. They're suffering because cruel and ungodly men and evil men have come in and taken their children away from them and sold them into slavery. They've killed. They've taken their homes. They've taken their husbands. They take their wives. And we have some people that are Christian believers in this world that are going through some of the most horrible atrocities that you've ever heard or seen, and they're going through it today. And we need to lift up the whole body of Christ, and we need to pray for those people, because that's really suffering that they're going through. But there's also a mental suffering. There's a suffering that you can go through as a Christian right here. It may not be like they're suffering over there, but suffering is suffering. Are you listening to me? And so when whereas that battle is going on, and when your mind's filled with doubts and fears and frustrations, and you're suffering from that because the enemy's telling you, well, you can't be a Christian, you're no longer a Christian, or what kind of Christian are you? And he's trying to pull you down, tear you down, and fill you full of doubts, and fill us full of doubts, fears, worries, and frustrations. That's suffering. But that's a mental suffering. And it's just as bad as sometimes as maybe even worse. Sometimes it's even worse. And that's what we're talking about here, is a spiritual warfare that goes on in people's minds that causes them to suffer. And so I want you to look at verse 13. He says, just like James says, rejoice when you fall into various trials. So instead of getting down, listen, instead of getting down and giving in to the worries and the doubts and the fears that the enemy is trying to fill you with, that's the best time in the world to start singing, oh, how I love Jesus, and praising the Lord. Amen? Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that's why he says, but rejoice, even though you're going through a trial and it's not pleasant, and even though it's a bad situation, rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But especially do we need to rejoice when we're going through trials, fiery trials, and that's not an easy thing to do, right? That's not an easy thing to do. But rejoice to the extent that you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Some of the greatest sufferings that Jesus suffered was in his mind. That so that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, some people are reproached and criticized on the jobs or by their neighbors or whatever, and by the evil one in our minds, you're blessed. You're blessed when that's going. That's not a curse, that's a blessing. You're blessed. Why are you blessed? Because the Spirit of glory of God rests upon you. Amen? So if we can't rejoice about anything else because we're going through a trial and a fiery trial, let us rejoice for the fact, well, praise God, I wouldn't be going through this if the devil didn't hate me and he wasn't trying to give me a hard time. Amen? Amen. I told people a lot of times, I'm just worried. I'm doubting my salvation. I said, well, and I feel like God wants me to doubt my salvation. I said, God doesn't want you to doubt your salvation. He said, well, because doubt brings fear and suffering and worry and frustration. I said, think of it like this. Would you please get this? I said, think of it like this. Why would the devil cause you, why would God or even the devil, why would the devil want to cause you to doubt something that you don't even have? If you don't have it, why is he trying to make you to doubt that you have it? That in itself ought to encourage you. Are you listening to me? We can be encouraged in every area and aspect of our lives if we just know what we're looking at. Can somebody say amen? So, the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. Verse 14, 1 Peter 4. On their part, and he's talking about those that are outside of the fellowship and the salvation of God. He is blasphemed, but on your part he's glorified. Amen? But let none of you suffer as a murderer. Don't go be a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Don't do that. Because then you're being on the enemy's side trying to bring somebody else down. Amen? We don't need to bring one another down, folks. We're all in this together. We need to lift each other up. Amen? Amen. All right. Verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Amen? We don't need to be ashamed that we're going through temptations or that we're suffering some trials. We'd never be ashamed of that fact. If you're suffering as a Christian, just glorify God and say, thank you, Lord. Amen? Are you with me? And that doesn't mean just physical suffering like going on in some of these countries in the world today. That means mental suffering or any kind of suffering that the enemy's putting us through while we're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ and the spiritual battle is going on, even suffering in your mind. We need to count it all joy and glorify the Lord in all of it. Thank God, because we're not being attacked because we're not Christians. We're being attacked because we are Christians. Amen? Are you with me? Because he says, beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange things happened to you. He's talking about God's children here. Amen? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's go to verse 5. Now, I'm not just preaching something here and teaching something here. I never preach something here and teach something here because I'm supposed to teach or preach a message, or I'm supposed to say something. Are you here with me? I'm preaching and teaching here because I've been through most all of this in my life, and I know what people are going through in their lives. Nobody needs to come try to fool me. I know what's going on in people's lives if they're Christians. So I'm trying to tell you, like the Bible's trying to tell you in many, many places, that you're in spiritual warfare and that God loves you, amen, and that you're an overcomer, and that the reason that you're going through spiritual warfare is because you're a Christian. And you've been translated out of the kingdom of power of darkness, and you've been translated in the kingdom of God's dear Son, and you've been born again by the Spirit of God. And now you know that the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit lusts against the flesh, and you're having a battle. Amen. And I told one man one time, he was having a battle. I said, well, if you weren't a Christian, you wouldn't even be having a battle. Because he was doubting his salvation really, really bad. All right, verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Now, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. We don't really want to submit to anybody, but I'm not going to preach on that right now. But let us all know that we're all... Some people think we're so high and mighty. God resists. I'm going to read this in a minute. God resists the proud, but He has mercy on the humble. Amen. And not any of us. There are. Don't misunderstand me. We're supposed to respect pastors and elders and those that are teachers and all of that. The Bible tells us to do that, but that doesn't mean any of us are any better than anyone else. We're all saved by the precious blood of the Lamb on the cross. We're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. Amen? The only thing that makes one of us different from another is that we don't have hair or we do hair. I'm just joking. Amen. But we do have gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. And that's why we need to be submissive to one another and love one another and care for one another, especially to we submit to our elders. Not that they're going to rule it over us or try, and some of them try to do that. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think you have to submit. You may not have to talk about them or put them down, but you don't have to submit to them if they're trying to run your life, control your life. I've heard some horrible things about some things that ministers try to do to people. Are you with me? Submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. Put on humility as a garment. Be humble. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Let me tell you something. We cannot stand against the wiles of the devil. We cannot stand any time and get anything done and accomplished if we're not humbling ourselves and depending upon God. That means the humbling ourselves and having humility just simply means, God, I'm dependent upon you. I can't do this. The first time I tried to do something, the Lord says, okay, son, you got it. Have it. Have at it. And boy, the enemy turned me every way but loose. And when I got there, I said, Lord, I don't want any more of this. You can have him. You deal with it. He said, I've already dealt with him. I want you to deal with him by faith now. It's a faith thing. It's a battle of faith. And it's a trial of your faith. You deal with him. And you can deal with him, but you have to do it in my strength. So now I'm glad that you've learned that lesson, that you can come to me and get and realize that you humble yourself before me, and then I can begin to do some work for you, and you'll give me praise and honor and glory. Amen? Amen. Therefore, humble yourselves, verse 6, 1 Peter 5. Chapter 5, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Don't worry about it. There is one day you're going to be exalted. Amen. More than you would ever know, you're going to be exalted. Amen. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? So he says, verse 7, so here's a part of the spiritual warfare and the trial of your faith. This is what you're supposed to do. Casting. Yeah, no, it didn't say every now and then. Or one or two problems. Did it? Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. God cares for you. God cares for you. Amen. God cares for me. God cares for us. The enemy likes to lie and tell us, well, where is your God? He's not taking care of you. He doesn't care for you. He likes to fill us with doubt and fear and worry. Are you listening? That's a part of the spiritual battle. You understand where we are here? All right, so cast all your care on him. Don't worry about it. Cast it on him. He cares for you. Now, be sober doesn't just not to be drunk with wine. How many of you understand that? He doesn't want us to go out and get drunk. That doesn't solve anything. It creates big problems. But that's what a lot of people do. They can't handle the problems and the issues in life, so they have substance abuse, alcohol or drugs or whatever, to escape the troubles and problems of life, and that just brings more problems and troubles. So they learn that sooner or later, and then say, where do we turn? Well, that's when you turn to Jesus and cast all your cares on him and say, Lord, I need your help. I need to be saved. I need to be delivered. I need to be set free. So be sober means to be wise in your mind, to think properly, and also be vigilant. You can't just go hopping down the bunny trail. Are you listening to me? I visualize that bunny rabbit on what you see on just hopping down the bunny trail, doesn't have a care in the world. You know, a lot of Christians don't think there's any battle going on. They don't know that there's a wolf out there or a lion or tiger or whatever. They're just hopping, ears flopping and just happy as they can be until something knocks them in the head and they wonder, what in the world happened? Are you listening to me? The Bible tells us as Christians, you need to be vigilant. We need to be looking around. We need to be, and that doesn't just mean looking with our eyes. We need to be sober in our minds and be watching in our minds about what's coming into our minds. Why am I thinking like this? Where did that thought come from? If you ever have thoughts that come into your mind, and most Christians do, because the devil tries to come and put thoughts in our minds, and he guises himself. He doesn't come along like a red devil with a pitchfork and punch you in the head or something. He makes you think those are your thoughts. And I'm going to tell you right now, and here's one of the things where you can be vigilant. Here's one of the ways to be vigilant. Are you ready? If you have thoughts coming into your mind that you do not want in your mind, be sure that that's the devil. And resist him. And resist those thoughts. That's not God. God doesn't do that. And that's not you, because you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's the enemy. So if you have thoughts rolling around in your mind, doubt, it doesn't necessarily have to be nasty thoughts. It can be thoughts of worry or thoughts of doubt or thoughts of fear or thoughts of frustration. And it could be coupled by the actual circumstances that are causing all of this to be happening in our lives. That's why we need to be vigilant. Why do we need to be vigilant, does he say here? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's going to devour you if you don't be. If we're not vigilant, he's going to have us down, discouraged, frustrated, and wondering what's happened, and whether we're saved or lost or whatever else is going on. So it says here, verse 9, resist him. Resist him. Now, can I tell you something? I've been in the ministry for a good while. I'd been in the ministry for a good while, and I had some teenagers. And brother, I'm telling you, I had a teenage son and daughter, and they were 1 year apart. Son was oldest, the daughter was second. Then we had another daughter come along 10 years later. But anyway, I did not understand anything at all about spiritual warfare. I was learning. I was young in the Lord, and I was growing. And our kids were just, our children were doing typical teenage things. And I was pastoring a church. Had a lady call me one time, "Pastor Kai, do you know what your children are doing?" I won't go tell that story again, but I said, they're running around the wrong crowd. I said, "Man, my kids are the wrong crowd, don't they?" But they were having some problems. And it was bothering me tremendously. And I was pastoring church and working. And it was bothering my wife. And I said, Pat, I don't know what to do with this. So I went in the bedroom and closed the door and got down on my knees. And I was praying for my daughter. And I wasn't really praying. I was just whining. You ever pray any of those whiny prayers? That's not a prayer of faith, let me tell you. The Lord, I don't know what to do about this. Just whining. He said, resist the devil. I said, what? Resist the devil. I said, and I stopped and I thought, resist the devil? How do I resist the devil? He said, you just resist him by the word of God and by prayer and by faith. You stand and say, get your hands off of my... So I felt stupid. I thought, I wanted to put my hands... I was dealing down by the bed. I wanted to put my hands over my head and be afraid of what I was about to say. I was afraid the devil might hit me. Are you listening? And I said, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the authority of his name, I command you to get your hands off of my daughter. She belongs to the Lord. She always will belong to the Lord. She's his property, and you have no right to her, in Jesus' name. And I got up and I thought, well, the next day, I thought something had happened to my daughter. Well, it did. God. She came in. She quit doing all the things she was doing. She got in our room, and she stayed in her room for 3 or 4 weeks reading her Bible and studying and praying. I thought she's just gone the opposite end of crazy. The opposite side of crazy. And when she come out of there, she's never been the same since. Now she's ministering. And has been for a number of years. Amen. All our my children are to some degree in the ministry. Thank God. Because we learned how to do spiritual warfare. So then I learned that I can resist the devil. If I'm vigilant and I know what to do, I can resist him. And I can stand fast in my faith. If he doesn't want to move, I tell him to get on and move anyway. Now I don't put up with him. I'm standing fast in my faith. Jesus said, I give you power over all the power of the evil one. Go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Oh my goodness. I never get through here. Be sober, be vigilant. Okay, resist him. Verse 9, 1 Peter 5. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings, you see, here we are, we're suffering through this spiritual warfare. Because we have an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion trying to devour us. And it does bring suffering. That the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So I know that if anybody's a Christian, they're going through some of the same things that I'm going through. Amen? Amen. There's nobody exempt. And it is some kind of form of suffering. Verse 10, but may the God of all grace, amen, who called us to his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you had suffered a while. In other words, that's telling me that some of this is necessary. Maybe not all of it. Some of it I went through because I didn't know what to do about it. But thank God, God works all things together for good. Amen? Are you listening to me? And he'll help me learn that that's through that suffering, and so I can get through that. And then he begins to perfect me and establish me and strengthen me and settle me. Amen? Amen? And that's the way this works. And that has to do with all of us as Christians. Verse 11, to him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him be the glory for everything. Amen? Amen. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that means we live in a physical body. That's all that means. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. We live in a fleshly body. I'll just put it the way it is. We walk in the flesh. We do not war according to the flesh. So it's not a fleshly battle. It's not a physical battle. For the weapons, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons. Did you know you had some weapons? Yeah. Amen. We got to know what, if you don't know where your weapons are, you're going to have a problem resisting the enemy. You don't know how to fight him. The weapons of our warfare, it's our warfare, Christians' warfare, are not carnal. That is, they're not fleshy, they're not of the flesh, they're not of ourselves, but mighty. Everybody say mighty. Our weapons are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. In other words, there's some things that we may have, the things that I had in my life that I didn't know I had, didn't even think about as when I first became a Christian. But later on, I found out those were strongholds. Amen? And that I had to go in there, and that's called in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22, 23, and 24. That's called, this is about what we're talking about here, is talking about putting off the old man, which with its corruptive lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's something that we have to do as Christians. If you don't do that in your life, then if you don't put off the old man and put on the new, then you know you're going to have some problems, because that has to do with your spiritual battle and your warfare. That's where your weapons are, putting down strongholds. Verse 5, now look where these strongholds are. Verse 5, let's see where they are. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down, and the King James Version says, casting down imaginations. The New King James Version says, casting down arguments. Either way, It's in your mind. Where are your imaginations? In your mind. And every high thing, anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Now look, listen, look here. Where is the knowledge of God? Right here. This is the knowledge of God. Now, if you don't know what the knowledge of God is, how in the world are you going to know that somebody's resisting the knowledge? Are you with me? So that all has to do with the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God. And I'm going to show you something else here in just a minute before I don't run out of time. Okay, bringing everything that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, everybody say thought, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God wants you to have and me to have the mind of Christ. And He tells us to put off the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we can do that because He has given us, we're new creations in Christ Jesus, and we have the mind of Christ. We need to feed it with the Word of God. Then we can bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. When I have thoughts going in my mind that the enemy puts there, I say, or if he's accusing me of something, I told people this every now and then, and he's trying to accuse me, I tell him, I said, you cannot put those thoughts in my mind, devil. I do not accept those. Besides that, you're not talking about me, you're talking about a dead man. The old Lewis Cowan has been crucified with Christ. You're talking about a dead man. Don't talk to me about a dead man. I'm a new creation in Christ. Amen? Whoa. If you just got that, that would be a good thing. Oh, let's go to 1 Timothy 6, chapter 6, verse 11. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But you, everybody say me, O man or woman of God. Amen? We have men and women of God. Amen? Amen. All right, he says, flee these things. Get away from these things. Put them away from you. Get away from them and pursue righteousness. Pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and gentleness. We have to pursue those things. It has to become a priority in our mind. It can't be something that's just laid off up on the shelf somewhere. We're talking about spiritual warfare here, folks. We're talking about your happiness, your joy, your mind. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. It's a fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Amen? That's a good passage of Scripture. Now, the last passage of Scripture I'm going to read is Ephesians chapter 6, if you want to go there, Ephesians chapter 6, because there he's going to tell us how to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, I noticed all through this, he's talking to my brethren, he's talking to Christian people. Amen? Brothers and sisters, believers, be strong in the Lord. How are you going to be strong? In the Lord. You can only be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You say, well, when I'm weak, well, that's the best thing in the world you can be. Because Paul said, His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. So when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Amen. Hey, praise God. Wow. Praise God. So I just say, Lord, I can't handle this. I'm weak. And he help me. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He will turn loose the Holy Spirit's power in us, so that not only we can help ourselves, but we can help others and do battle for them. Because we're not just talking about a battle for ourselves. We're talking about a battle for the whole body of Christ. Amen? Amen. Now he says, be strong in the Lord and power of His might. Put on the whole, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. We got to put on the armor of God. We have to put on the armor of God. What is it? Well, I'm glad you asked. He wants you to put it on so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's telling us here, if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you're not going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to beat the tar out of you and make you miserable and rob you of your peace and your joy. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That's where our battle is, right there. Amen? It may be going on in our mind, but that's where it's coming from. It's from coming from the spiritual darkness, the rulers of this age, the god of this world, Satan, who's blinded the minds of those that believe not. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So he wants us just to stand sometimes. Sometimes you don't have to be running. You don't have to be walking. Sometimes you're just doing good to stand. Amen? Stand therefore. Verse 14, having girdled your waist with truth. So walk in truth. Don't ever be caught lying. Don't lie about anything. Walk in truth. And also, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And his word is truth. So we walk in the truth. It's through his word. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, what is the breastplate of righteousness? That is what the word of God says, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God. If you're a Christian, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. God has made you that. Amen? The devil says, you don't have any righteousness. I said, no, my righteousness is the righteousness of God. Amen? The religious leaders of Jesus' day and time, the scribes and the Pharisees, they were looked upon as the most righteous people on the face of the earth. Boy, they tithed. They went so much as to tithe the little herbs that grew around, the plants that grew around their house. They wore long robes. They prayed. They were considered. I mean, people. They prayed. Made long prayers, standing on the corner, on the street corners. I mean, they were religious. They were men and women of God. And when Jesus came preaching, you know what he said? Here's what he said. I want you to get this. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. Go read it. Can you imagine the shock on those people? We can't do all those religious things, mate. He said, no, I don't even want you to do those religious things. They're a bunch of hypocrites. He called them a bunch of fools, a bunch of serpents, and you know, some people get mad at preachers for preaching. Boy, Jesus called them a bunch of idiots, a bunch of fools, snakes, serpents, vipers. Huh. That's the Jesus I believe in. Amen? Amen? So where is my righteousness? My righteousness is of God. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. That's who you are if you're a Christian. You don't have any righteousness. How can your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? If you went out and did all of those things, you'd be a hypocrite just like they were. You can be as religious as you want to be. Do all the do's and the don'ts that you want to do and don't and whatever in order to please God. And that and your righteousness, it's not by works of righteousness. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. Amen? According to the righteousness of his Spirit, which the Holy Spirit has poured out on us. Amen? Titus 3, 5, and 6. I don't have time. Oh, goodness. Let's finish this. So, put on the truth. Make sure you understand you have the breastplate of righteousness. Put it on. Verse 15, shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. That means just you know the gospel, don't you? That's how you got saved. If you don't know the gospel, you need to know the gospel that way, because somebody's going to come across you someday and say, my, you sure are different. What in the world's the matter with you? And then you can share the gospel with them. What is it? Good news. Good news. There's no sense in telling them the good news if you're not any different than they are. Wow. Amen? I'm not picking on you. I'm trying to help us here, all of us. We need to have the gospel of peace. We need to be able to tell people how we got saved, when we got saved. A testimony is a good thing. Amen? We all have one, right? 16, and then 16, above all, above everything else that you do here, I want you to take the shield of faith. Amen? What is the shield of faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And he says right here, the shield of faith, which is able to quench all, everybody say all, the fiery darts of the wicked one. When I throw up my shield of faith, all of those fiery darts that he's trying to hit me with, all they do is hit my shield of faith, and I say, I'm standing in the righteousness of God. I have my shield of faith, and you will not reach me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That shield of faith. Get your faith. Grow. And let your faith grow. Let it expand. That's your shield. And then look at this. With which you will be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked one. And then take the helmet of salvation. Oh, boy. When these guys out there playing in the football field, what do you think they wear? They have a helmet on. That's to keep from getting their brains mashed in. Amen. Busted and broken and whatever. A concussion. All right, we have a helmet. That's the helmet of our salvation. We need to be sure that we have that helmet of salvation and that it's on and it's in place and that we know who we are and what we are in Christ and that we're saved. Amen? That's putting on the helmet of salvation. Notice where the helmet of salvation is. It protects your mind. It protects your brain. Amen? Because that's one of the first things that the enemy did with Jesus. As soon as Jesus was filled by the Holy Spirit, he went out in the wilderness. First things the devil did in temptation to him, came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. If you be the... What was he trying to do? To get Jesus to doubt that he was who he was born to be. You don't think he's going to do you the same way? Our sufferings are the same. He doesn't. You can't put on the helmet of salvation with your mind full of doubt and fear. And you don't know whether you're saved or not. How can you put on the helmet of salvation? Come on, people. My goodness. I'm talking about, this is not just preaching. This is talking about practical, everyday living as a Christian. And then take the sword of the Spirit. Where's the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Amen? The Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication and for all the saints. Amen? Praying. Being praying always. So I wanted to give you all of that. I was trying not to be too long about it. But it's very, very important. And I hope you have all those down because those are the things that we all need to do in order to be successful in spiritual warfare and enjoy our salvation. Amen? Let's stand. Amen? Thank you for being here. Pray God's richest blessings upon every one of you. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for all of these precious ones here that belong to you. Help us all, Father, in Jesus' name, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can stand against the wiles of the evil one. Help us, Father, to understand how the enemy is attacking us and how to resist him, how to take the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and do spiritual battle. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. We realize every good thing comes from you, and we praise you, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.